Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from the Washington, D.C. area. I'm sitting in the offices of Brian Lee from the Gartner Group. Brian will be speaking at the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute on the topic of advancing a culture of integrity by building strong climates. Brian, first of all, thanks for joining us. And secondly, thanks for agreeing to speak at the 2018 meeting.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be speaking.
So let's talk about culture. What's the best way to measure a company's culture?
Yeah, Adam, that's a really good question. And quite frankly, it's one of the most common questions that we receive when we talk to companies about measuring improving culture. I think while Gartner uses a company-wide employee survey methodology, which, as you can imagine, I'm partial to, I think the best way to measure culture really depends on the type of company that you work in. In truth, I think we see companies do a variety of things. So number one, they might create an employee-wide survey. Two, they might actually use focus groups. So focus groups would be useful sometimes to target smaller groups of people. They might use a real-time survey mechanism. Or they could also use data analytics. So we've seen companies start to use data analytics, both in understanding structured data, so things like helpline calls, those sorts of things, volume, but also unstructured data. So we're starting to see companies use emails, computer usage, social media posts as ways to identify and measure a culture. The trick here, I think, though, is regardless of whatever method you use, you need to make sure that you do a couple things. So there are three things I think that you need. Number one, of course, you need honest answers, right? You need to create an environment where employees feel like they can talk about their issues or at least measure or give an opinion on culture that won't come back to them. So something that's honest. Second, it needs to be from a large enough sample that it feels representative of the company size. So if you do a dozen employees, you might get some information on those dozen employees, but it won't really be representative of the entire company at large. And then finally, I think it's important to ask questions that give you enough information to do something about it. And that's a little bit tricky, right? A lot of times I think companies want to put one or two questions in an employee-wide workforce survey, maybe an engagement survey, that kind of thing. And the question tends to be pretty broad. So it's about the senior leadership believes in an ethical culture, or I think we have an ethical culture. That's great. It's great to get information on that. But if you don't know what the reason is behind the answer that an employee gives, a lot of times, really hard to figure out what to do with it.
So your answer got into a question that sort of, or an issue that troubles me often, is that when it comes to integrity surveys or employee engagement surveys, employees know, in quotes, sort of what the right answer is, what it is that the company wants them to say. And that can trigger people's various reactions that doesn't give a wholly honest assessment of what they're saying. So how do you manage for the fact that employees know what they think you want them to say?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I think you always have a concern that employees are going to give you the answer they want you or they think that you want to hear. I think one of the ways that you want to sidestep that issue or deal with that issue is helping them understand how that information is being used and ensuring and communicating that that information is confidential, that it won't be traced back to them if they give an answer. So if they know how their information is going to be used, if they also know that their individual answer isn't being tracked to their particular case, then I think they're much more open to giving an honest answer.
Okay. What factors have you found through your research most impact an employee's view of their organization's culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's sort of a $64,000 question. I think there are a couple major factors. When you think about what impacts a person's perception of culture within their company. So number one, I think organizational justice tends to be one of the biggest factors towards an employee's understanding and perception of what culture looks like. So again, this is the employee's beliefs that their company responds quickly to a concern that they have. This clearly makes sense. If an employee brings something up or sees something and wants to talk about it, the company needs to deal with it, whether that person creating the misconduct or the person engaging in misconduct is the CEO or someone on the front line. So I think that's number one. Number two, I think, is comfort speaking up. So the ability to be able to say something and feel that you wouldn't be retaliated against, that if they had something that they had to, they wanted to say, that the initial response is not just silence. So those two things sort of work together, and they go hand in hand with regard to improving culture, as well as impacting a person's perception. One other thing that I'd actually mention, and this is a little bit about what we've seen in the last year's worth of research, is that climate plays a very large, has a very large impact on culture. And what I mean by climate is what employees generally see around them. And so it's one thing to have tone at the top and have the CEO say culture is really important for us. It's another thing entirely for that same employee to see the people across the cube from them or in their general floor and see activities and actions that don't mirror what the CEO has asked. And so certainly I think climate and the sort of signals that managers bring as well as their colleagues tend to be really important in determining whether or not a person thinks that a company, the company that they work at, has high integrity.
Yeah, and that's a good point you raise always. Tone at the top is important, but if it's not fully cascading down through the organization, people can see that. And also defining what you meant by climate is important, given that it's about 95 degrees and 800% humidity outside right now. So are there factors that turn out to be relatively unimportant or less important than many in compliance think?
Yeah, we actually looked at that. So not only did we think about what was important, we also thought about what wasn't. And a couple things popped out. So number one, awareness of cultural values and cultural training. So you would think that a company that was able to train on the importance of culture, that if a company did that, that employees would have higher cultural perceptions of their company. And it turns out they actually don't. And I think when we dug into it, one thing we saw, and this I think makes sense, is that employees may know what to do, and they may understand what it takes to behave ethically, but they don't always do it. So the training and awareness part of culture and the importance of culture tends to fall a little bit short of expectations in terms of the impact on companies. Second, prior cultural experience. So just because a person has, in your opinion, exhibited high integrity at one company does not necessarily translate into working in another company. And that goes, again, to the importance of climate and culture generally. It is the person, of course, who has an ethical sort of backbone and structure that you are probably more likely to see do the right thing. But it's not as important as we thought it would be in culture. And then finally, as you mentioned, tone at the top. This is something, of course, that's table stakes. We need to make sure that the CEO and senior leadership are on board. But at the same time, I think people tend to stop there. And we notice that when it's only tone at the top and not working with your colleagues, not creating these types of climates and environments, it falls short.
That's interesting. I mean, it drives home to me two points. Is one, the idea that tone at the top is great, but the middle is so critically important that unless middle management is actually living and breathing those values and communicating them, it tends to fall by the wayside there. And also, as you talked about prior experience, just because they came from a virtuous, and you know, corporation or one that was always trouble, it only is predictive so far. I think of, many pointed out that 10% of us are sinners, 10% of us are saints, and 80% are in the middle.
Yeah.
And the environment will end up affecting this. So you're a compliance officer, you've done the survey. How do you use the knowledge effectively to reduce the misconduct?
Yeah, I think the first thing is understanding that there is a correlation between perceptions of culture and misconduct. So the work that we've done in the past clearly shows this. We've seen a couple other companies also do this kind of work. Improving perceptions of culture is critical in not only helping employees report the misconduct that they see, but also in the reduction of overall misconduct. So the first thing I think you need to do is work to improve that culture in your organization. So if you have a better soil in your organization, you're gonna grow better things. And so whether that's about creating channels for people to speak up, whether that's making sure that you follow through on all allegations and investigations that are substantiated, and that you communicate not only to the company, but to the person that was making the allegation, what happened, critical. In addition, I think improving climate. So what this means to us is helping employees understand how to exhibit good behaviors in their daily workflows, making sure managers send positive signals, rewarding positive behavior, that sort of thing. So number one is really about improving the culture. The second, relatedly, is to create mechanisms to ensure that misconduct is reported. So that is a huge problem in organizations, that when you see misconduct, about 68% of them will go directly to their manager. They won't go to compliance. Compliance actually only gets about 10-11% of these types of violations. They only find out about that many. I think it's critical to make sure that when somebody sees something, they know what to do with that information. And so working on that would help reduce misconduct, maybe not reduce misconduct per se, but ensure that misconduct is reported and that it's adequately dealt with before it becomes a crisis.
So you've done the survey, you've made changes to your compliance and ethics program based on what the findings have said. How often is it prudent to go back and reassess? Is it better to do it every year, every 3 years? What's the time frame that's sort of the sweet spot?
Yeah, so we typically recommend that companies engage in some sort of cultural measurement every 2 years. And the biggest reason is because it takes a while for culture to move in organizations. So once you find out where the problems are, whether they're cultural or misconduct related, you as a compliance officer need to put into place certain types of actions. You also need to be able to tell the board and senior management that you've taken these actions and that they've had the following effects. That usually takes about a year to put into place. And by the time that you've done that, having it done every other year tends to show the changes that you're looking for, whether good or for bad.
Yeah, and it's really a good point that you can't change any of this stuff overnight, and that you can end up over measuring, sort of like you can't take your temperature when you're sick every 20 minutes because it doesn't mean anything.
There are companies, and this is actually not a bad way to do it. I think companies may use some sort of mix of both sort of static measures, but also sort of dynamic measures too. So getting a couple real-time pulses inside of those 2 years, particularly if you've seen problem areas or problem parts of the business, potential jurisdictions which might have some cultural problems. It's not uncommon to see companies go back and measure them in a smaller capacity just to see how they're doing with that. That's not sort of your physical, your annual physical, if you will, but it's just a little bit of a diagnostic check.
One of the issues that a company may have in assessing their culture, if you're a global organization, is different parts of the world react differently.
Yeah.
They may or may not trust surveys. They may or may not have totally different cultures in your operation in country A than it does in country B. How do you control for that and still get a good assessment of the culture in that part of your organization?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. We see a lot of questions related to global surveys. I think one of the biggest things that you need to do is be able to benchmark it based on the country that you're in. And so you're right, different countries have different reasons and different cultural perceptions. So building a sufficient benchmark, whether that's through a third party or with yourself year over year, I think is incredibly important. We will see differences and variations in culture. For instance, in Korea and China, we tend to see more deference to hierarchy. So the problem might be that reporting is not as big of an issue or a bigger issue than it would be in the United States. So I think understanding sort of culturally what that looks like from country to country is I think really important. And so being able to, and this is a good point because I think it brings up the fact that compliance officers need to adjust their strategy based on the region that they're in and based on the business unit. So sometimes awareness is important, sometimes actually controls are important. So putting together sort of flip switches or KRIs that can alert you to specific risks, I think, can be useful.
Sorry, I'll admit my own ignorance. I know what a KPI is.
Key risk indicators. So those things that would indicate potential risk is happening.
Okay, good. All right. Well, obviously acronyms are a KRI for me. So thank you. Well, Brian, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.